तक दिन नम दद को तक जन को गुप तक ते कुप तक ते तद दिन को तक जन को तद दिन कर तक तद दिन तंग तद दिन तंग तद दिन न तंग कर तक तद दिन न तंग तद जन तक दिन नम दद को तक जन को गुप तक ते कुप तक ते तद दिन को तक जन को तद दिन दान दान तक ते तक ते तक ते दिक तक तक ते न दान दान तक ते तक ते तक ते दिक तक तक ते न तक ते धीम धीम तक ते तक ते धीम धीम तक ते तक ते धीम तक ते धीम तलांग चोम कर तक कर तुम तलांग चोम कर तक कर तुम तलांग चोम कर तक कर तुम तक कि तत जम तक दिम्मि तक तज्जम तक दिम्मि तक तज्जम तिमि तत्तरि केट तक तक तत्तज्जम तरि तत्तरि केट तक ताकु तजम दरित तक जम तरि तक ते तक जम दरि तजम तजम तक जम दरि तजम तजम तक के तत्तज्जम तक दिम्मि तारिकु धनकु धनकु जनकु गिनकु तुंकु पुंधरि कर तक कर तुम तक दिन नम तद को तक जन को कुप तक ट कुप तक ट तद दिन को तक जन को तद दिन कर तक तद दिन तंग तद दिन तंग तद दिन तंग तक तद दिन तंग तद जन तक दिन नम तद को तक जन को कुप तक ट कुप तक ट तद दिन को तक जन को तद दिन दान दान तक ट तक ट तक ट दिक तक 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 न दान दान तक ट तक ट तक ट दिक तक 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 न तक तक दिम दिम तक ट तक दिम दिम तक ट तक दिम तक ट दिम तलांग चूम कर तक तुम तलांग चूम कर तक तुम तलांग चूम कर तक तुम.
That's Sheila Chandra from Weaving My Ancestors' Voices with Speaking in Tongues 1. You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is Communication Nation, Episode 3, Other Voices, Other Sounds. We're talking with Marcy Laurel. She's a speech-language practitioner, and she is explaining to us about the purpose and function of nonverbal communication. That means the communication we do with our bodies, without even thinking about it. As we're learning about the importance of nonverbal communication in our lives, for some people, those cues don't come so easily. How do you teach neurodivergent people about nonverbal communication?
It's tricky. If somebody's struggling with their nonverbal communication, either using their bodies and their faces and their voices to communicate, or they're not catching other people's messages, and if they think it would be helpful to them, or maybe if they're younger, their parents and their teachers think so, then we might help them to notice.
They might practice by making big dramatic expressions. Sad, angry, happy, you name it. And then Marcy told us they practice labeling those feelings.
Maybe we give the person clues about what to look for and what it means as part of an interaction. Or maybe we record our voices, or maybe we watch videos and try to ascertain or think about what somebody's trying to communicate with their bodies and their faces and their hands, all of those ways we talked about. So it's kind of like being a detective. We learn to kind of clue by clue, learn to pay attention to what this nonverbal communication is and what it means.
But here's where things get a little complicated. Not everybody wants to communicate in the same ways. Say one person may not like making a lot of eye contact.
If that's not comfortable for you, for whatever reason, maybe you just learn to turn your shoulders toward that person. You don't have to look right at them, but you show them with your body that you're interested. So we have to be careful not to get so stuck that the right way is one way, when the right way is really many ways.
Can you talk a little bit about how nonverbal communication here might be different from other places in general? How is a kid supposed to know how to behave in different circumstances?
So there's differences in nonverbal communication across cultures, whether that's a different country or a different part of this country or different families. There are differences in the rules that apply. And the most important thing about this is that sometimes we're sending messages that we don't mean to send. Like if I'm a person that likes to get real touchy-feely and I want to put my arm around you, I want to stand real close to you, and that's my way of showing that I'm really interested in communicating with you, but you feel like I'm just getting way too close and you don't even know what I mean by that, now we have a miscommunication. This goes for how big our gestures are. Do I use my body in a big way? Or do I keep my body kind of quiet when I'm talking? This would again go for the use of my voice. Am I kind of loud for you? Or is it an understanding that my voice volume goes up when I get excited? It's a way I am. It's a way my brain is.
Can you tell from the nonverbal communication of the people you're talking to whether they're receiving you and your communication well or not?
It goes back to that detective work. What does somebody's face look like if they're a little uncomfortable? Are they stepping back a little bit with their body? Are they leaning in to show they're with you? Or are they kind of backing all the way away because they're not comfortable with your way of communicating? Sometimes it really takes a lot of paying attention to make sure our messages are going back and forth just the way we want them to.
When it comes to people who are neurodivergent, maybe some of us who are not neurodivergent misunderstand them, and they're not understanding our nonverbal communication, and we're not understanding their nonverbal communication. Why should we be aware that this is the case?
So it's so important for us in every avenue of our lives, whoever we're talking to and being with, right? But especially, we already talked about how some people who are neurodivergent might find these types of interactions challenging in different ways or just interact in different ways. So the first thing I would say is it's so important to always think the best of everyone. Don't jump to the conclusion that something is happening that is against you or not right before we even know what's happening. Stay with the interaction, ask questions sometimes to better understand what the person is feeling, or if the person stands too close, we could give them some clues that maybe we want to step back a little bit, but not to judge. It's so important not to judge because everyone in every circumstance is absolutely doing the best they can, and everyone in every circumstance wants to have a good communication. Everyone does.
That was Marcy Laurel. She's a speech-language pathologist at the University of New Mexico's Center for Development and Disability. She's somebody who helps people of all ages communicate better.
To you, because your face shows how you're feeling. When you smile, I know you're happy. When you frown, I know you're down. And when you bite your lower lip, it means you're nervous. And when one eyebrow lifts, you're curious. When your eyebrows join together, you may be furious.
That's Lindsay Monroe right here on the Children's Hour. We just learned that nonverbal communication is a big part of how we talk to each other. But did you know that many people across the world communicate only with their hands, face, and body? Maybe you've heard the word deaf before. That's when a person has impaired hearing. A person can be born deaf or become deaf after an injury or illness. Some deaf people can only pick up certain sounds, while others don't hear anything at all. They can't listen to you or me talking or even hear their own voice, so using words can be hard. And that's why many rely on sign language. Brad Klein is a comedian. His parents, Candy and Marty, were born deaf. Together, they speak using sign language.
I tell a lot of my friends who have hearing parents that my life growing up was very similar to theirs. I learned sign language just like all of us learned English. As an infant, you absorb everything and anything around you. There are 270 countries in the world, but over 300 different sign languages. And that's because sign language can also be partly regional. Sometimes a north part of a country will have a slightly different sign language than the southern part of the country.
About 11 million people in America identify as deaf. That's less than 5% of our population. Deaf people are part of a small community, and sometimes people assume that makes life more lonely. Very few hearing people know sign language, but Marty told us that assumption isn't so true.
We deaf people do not feel lonely because we always get together. It's a common bond.
Candy says deaf people have a vibrant social world and a culture all of their own.
This is my mom's voice, and you can hear how different it is. Because she can't hear her own voice. But she can feel the vibrations. That's how she learned speech therapy, was in the vibrations of how words sounded. There's a Chicago club for the deaf, where we're from, where we go bowling together, we socialize, go out to dinner together. Way back in my time, sign language wasn't always allowed in school, but now it's definitely allowed in school, and a lot more families get involved in learning sign language, so deaf people don't feel lonely anymore.
If you're deaf and you can't read lips, how do you communicate with people when you do important stuff like bank meetings? Do you always have to bring an interpreter with you, or can you sometimes get by with just visual communication?
Great question. When my boss asks me for an important meeting, I always say, please bring an interpreter so that there's no miscommunication. If it's one-on-one, I will just ask them to write it down, or I'm pretty good at lip reading.
Martin is holding up his iPhone. How do you use it, Martin, to communicate? Do you actually type the message out?
This is the app that converts speech into text. And I read it at the same time, real time, and it's almost perfect.
I think it's also important for me to bring up what's called the ADA. It's the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's the right of my parents to have equal and opportune communication in public settings, such as doctor's offices, public meetings, news conferences, so that they have the ability to understand and be on equal footing to everybody else. So while my dad does prefer the live transcription, he is entitled to having an interpreter there, which has happened when I had to go to the emergency room as an 8-year-old. The doctors tried to talk to me and said, can you interpret for your parents? And my parents had to be firm and say, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, we have the right to an interpreter for this very important communication about my son's health. So while I do interpret for little things, like if we're out at a restaurant and my mom says, can you just tell him I wanted iced tea? Sure. But if we're talking about buying a mortgage, a bank meeting, a doctor's visit, it's incredibly important for my parents to have clear and concise communication. And the Americans with Disabilities Act allows us to do so.
When we're thinking about communication, all of us sitting in this room and listening on the radio, because by nature of radio listeners, it's usually people who can hear. So what could we who can hear do to make our communities more inclusive for people who cannot hear?
Captioning on everything. Accessibility for some is accessibility for everybody, because everybody can benefit when you have it.
It's about the mindset. They have to know that access is very, very important. Between two or more people.
But most importantly for us, for communication, it's to understand what's going on. Sometimes the communication falls off. People say, we'll tell you later. And that's the challenge for us. We want to be involved. And we can do anything but hear. And so we enjoy having like live captioning, which is what we're using right now, along with the interpreter. We really appreciate so much the technology, and the deaf children nowadays have so much more access than we did in our days.
That was Brad Klein interpreting for his mom, Candy. Brad is a hearing comedian out of Chicago, and his parents, Candace and Martin Klein, otherwise known as Candy and Marty, are deaf.
Hey, have you ever heard of sign language? It's a way many people talk using their hands and body instead of words. Kind of like dancing. We're gonna learn a little bit today. Come on.
Talk, 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 talking with my body. Oh, I love moving my body. Talk, 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 talking with my body. Oh, I love moving my body.
All right, let's sign some phrases together. Just copy what I do. Your turn.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Great job. I am learning to sign. Now you.
I am learning to sign.
There you go. Goodbye. See you later, alligator. You can do it. Game. I'll do a sign, and you have to guess what it means by hopping to the left or the right. Let's go! Unicorn or monkey?
Monkey!
Banana or apple?
Banana!
Cowboy or astronaut?
Astronaut!
Robot or dinosaur?
Talking with my body is Danny Go, right here on the Children's Hour, and we're thinking about talking with my body as we spoke with Brad Klein and his parents, Marty and Candy. That family uses sign language and talks with their body all the time. We're all doing it all the time, whether or not we notice. We're speaking with our gestures, our looks, even our stance. So much to learn today about nonverbal unspoken communication, and we have more coming up about how assistive technology is being used to help even more people communicate.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. You can learn more at tokenibis.org. Thanks to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Children's Hour is supported in part by New Mexico Arts, a division of the Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.